The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Now, it's 35 years since the government decided to ditch plans for a CIE transport hub at Temple Bar and instead develop the area as a cultural quarter. Former Taoiseach Charles Haughey had visions of a sort of Parisian left bank on the Liffey. But has that artistic vision been realised even in part, or is it just a tourist trap with expensive beers and tawdry souvenirs? News Talk reporter Sarah Madden went down the cobblestones to find out.
There's a few different stories about Temple Bar that you can tell, and they're all true.
I'm only in Temple Bar because I'm walking through it.
It's more dangerous. You don't see any guards around there.
Absolute rip-off and it stinks.
There's a story you hear most often, which is tourist trap.
It's just full of tourists and people drinking.
There's not much authenticity. It's a bit like going to New York and going to Times Square. You're not going to see anything Irish.
You know, wouldn't avoid pub crawls, all that kind of stuff.
Stags and hens, it's kind of the worst of overpriced Dublin.
The price of pints and all over there, I would never find myself on a night out there.
Yeah, I don't go for pints there, it's a rip-off.
And that's true to a certain extent, but there's also a really good cultural story to be told here, and it's a great place to live from that perspective.
Temple Bar's story, or stories, begins centuries before the cultural redevelopment that celebrates its 35th anniversary this year.
Temple Bar does not take its name from a public house. That's a very good piece of marketing on the part of a publican. And most people who visit this city will presume Temple Bar is just a pub.
Donal Fallon is a Dublin historian and author.
Temple is a man, Sir William Temple. He had been provost of Trinity College Dublin. He built his homes and gardens in this area. And my understanding of it is that a bar, B-A-R-R, meant a kind of raised embankment. Mm-hmm. This land had been reclaimed from the river. So it was Temple's Bar at that point in time. But William Temple's home and gardens, in time, this area became a kind of natural dockland for Dublin, where the Clarence Hotel is. That had been the custom house long before the custom house as we know it was built. So ships that were sailing in and out of Dublin were destined for what's now the site of the Clarence. And behind it, you got the natural emergence of a kind of dockland area. So people complain that there's too many pubs in Temple Bar now. The area was full of pubs in the 18th century. There are different kinds of pubs. There were pubs of sailors and dockers and everything you'd expect around the Docklands area. Historically, what do you do with your factory district? You're not making anything anymore. That's a question that lots of cities have had to answer. What do you do with your industrial area when the wheels of industry stop turning?
The state planned to turn Temple's Bar into a bus station, the largest CIE terminal the country had ever seen.
And the argument that young people made was, well, the city had a central bus station in the form of Busoris. What we needed instead was a kind of cultural quarter. So it was a big battle. But ultimately, I mean, in a place that is in limbo, what you have is you have an uncertain future, you have short-term leases, you have low rent. And in the footprint of what had been an industrial quarter, you know, warehouses and factories, emerged something very, very exciting. We're standing outside what was the Hirschfeld Centre, which was a very important space in Temple Bar. It opened in 1979 as a community centre for young gay people. I think the fact that the Hirschfeld Centre was here says a lot about Temple Bar. This place also had Flickers, which is the birthplace of the modern Dublin nightclub. So this represented a place where young people could be themselves, a place where people, you know, could create art. And like the Project Arts Centre around the corner, it all came out of the opportunity, which was that crisis in development.
Eventually, the government, headed by Charlie Haughey, came around to that vision of Temple Bar. And in 1991, the Temple Bar Area Renewal and Development Act was enacted to regenerate the neighbourhood.
When I think back in those days, I almost envisioned the area covered in smoke, which it wasn't, but it's just my mind playing tricks. Now it's much more vibrant, much more colourful, and it's like a little village, as I've said before. It's almost like a little village.
Artist John Cullen was one of Temple Bar's original residents, taking up residence above his Celtic jewellery shop, Tambouli, on Cope Street 35 years ago.
One of my employees who worked with me for 18 years, she served the customers, took the cash, took the credit cards and brought it behind the counter to Dad and waited for the change. And she was a little Jack Russell. And she was so famous, people came from France all over to see her. She was written up in two newspapers. She was basically the manageress. I mean, I still have people coming into my shop looking for her, although she's past 10 years. But she was my best staff. You know.
It's hard to talk about Temple Bar without mentioning the pubs. Sitting, as they do, cheek by jowl, and selling the most expensive pints of Guinness in the country. But Temple Bar is also home to some of the capital's most unique independent businesses.
So what you're looking at here, we have a load of lures here for pike, and then we have sea fishing section.
Mary Harkrin is the owner of Rory's Fishing Tackle. Her father, Rory, set up the shop in 1959, and it's the oldest original Temple Bar business still running.
So basically we cover all the ranges, and then we have our famous t-shirts as well, as worn by Amy Winehouse, SZA and Chris Martin. And Bob Geldof recently bought one as well.
Wow. And yeah. What are some of the things that make your t-shirts famous? What do they say?
If this shirt is missing, I've gone fishing, or people buy it because it says, if you want to be happy for a day, get drunk for a week, get married for life, go fishing.
And is that the motto you live by, Mary?
It is. Well, yeah, most of the time, yeah. I'm not married. I escaped that one. I have more time to go fishing.
Mary says the tackle shop's location is key to their success. But having a shop in Temple Bar does come with challenges.
Well, like everything, every city, we've had a problem with drugs in the area. And that would be the biggest problem from what I would see on a day-to-day basis. But in fairness, the police have been a big presence here, and there doesn't seem to be as much crime in the area. You feel a lot safer walking down the area. And I think that's one of the problems, that people have this perception, oh, you can't come to Temple Bar during the day, it's not safe. It is very safe. Of course, it's just unfortunate, like any city, we do have crime, and that's just part and parcel of any town or village or city, for that matter. There's a lot of Temple Bar. It's not all about pubs and clubs. There's free galleries. You have so many nice restaurants. You have the photographic archive, the children's theatre, Smock Alley, and a lot of independent galleries. So there's a lot of stuff going on. And also there's the markets and the square and Temple Bar, and they're there every day now during the summer. So that just kind of creates a nice vibe around the area. There's a nice buzz around it during the daytime.
It's going through a great patch at the moment. Parliament Street has transformed a lot of the, you know, the area. People are coming here just to sit out, eat slices of pizza, drink coffees, all that kind of stuff.
Declan O'Brien has been living in Temple Bar for more than 20 years, and he's a regular on the live music scene here too.
There's a great cultural resurgence going at the moment as well in the area. So Smock Alley, you know, they did a thing in March, 100 seen and heard, 100 new works, and it was amazing. Around the corner, the Wild Duck does like really good open mic nights, singer-songwriter sessions, theatre, like they're very supportive of new music. So, and it's a lot of it's free.
Still, Declan does see room for improvement in the area.
The issue with short-term let accommodation, it's huge. I mean, I can point out entire blocks that have been taken over by short-term lets. Very little enforcement on us. Hopefully the changes that are coming in later this year will make a difference. But, you know, we've lost neighbours for us. Yeah, no, it's tough, and you see it because it's really obvious, and it was very obvious 10 years ago when this became a phenomenon, and very little was done, and it was just, you know, it was seen as something that's kind of, oh, it's part of, you know, it's part of living in the city, but it's not. It doesn't have to be, and loads of other cities have shown that it shouldn't be.
There have been moments along the way that I just found very discouraging for this district.
Donal Fallon again.
The opening of the McDonald's, for example, I remember that was a big showdown, and the presence now of so many fast food takeaways in the area, I think that's a real missed opportunity. But what makes an area different in any city? What brings people in London down Brick Lane or Soho? That sense that the place is not just the same commercial high street as everywhere else. So for me, I think it's important to define what makes this area different and to nurture that and to make space, low rents, for little businesses like the Gras beside us here to make a go at it.
But Martin Hart thinks the original vision for Temple Bar has been realised, and moreover, that the best for Ireland's most famous area may be yet to come.
So there are now over 11 to 12 cultural institutions. So the Irish Film Institute, the Contemporary Music Centre, the Temple Bar Gallery and Studios, the Graphic Print Gallery. You have the Arc, you have the Button Factory. You know, you've gone from having a very small cultural footprint to having a much bigger one, a much more active one. Aligned with all of that, you have over 300 businesses. You have an area that supports about 10,000 people. So everyone from waiters and chefs and barmen and curators and artists and musicians. A lot of musicians are employed in Temple Bar. You know, and a lot of musicians developed their career here in Temple Bar. The likes of Gavin James when he was in the old storehouse. Shane McGowan lived here, of course. Sinead O'Connor worked in the Badass Cafe. So where it is now compared to where it was is it's a different world. It's a different planet. So if you look at the investment by the EU and the Exchequer, but largely by the EU back in the 90s, was about 35 million euros. The area turns over about 700 to 800 million euros per annum. So this is a massive return on investment. It's the beating heart of the city. It has been going back to Viking times. Something I'm really looking forward to and something that's really been transformational, this massive increase in pedestrian space. So in 35 years, I'd like to think that this, particularly with the plans that are now in place for College Green, that there'll be a bit of a green lung, that it'll be a very pleasant and important civic and cultural space for my children and grandchildren.
And that report from Sarah Matt.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Timber Living Log Cabins.